Thank you for the introduction. To begin, I'm going to talk about what water hardness is. A lot of people don't test for this. It's a measure of the total concentrations of divalent cations or dissolved minerals in water. When I say divalent cations in the image here, we see calcium, magnesium with a +2 charge. That's a very important thing to remember as I'm talking throughout this presentation. And then dissolved minerals means that these things will not settle out in water. The most common ones are magnesium, calcium, and iron, and they are typically measured or reported in calcium carbonate equivalents, or if we were in the plumbing industry, we would be talking about grains per gallon. And those are measured with test strips for the most part to give you a general range, or you can look or use a titration kit that will give you a more concise measurement. If you want to get real specific with your values of hardness, you can do a spray tank water quality test and request that from different labs in your area. One thing to note, though, an irrigation water test will not give you the proper hardness measurement in your water. So sources of water and which ones are hard. Surface water sources such as lakes, rivers, and streams are variable, but two sources that are very commonly used in spray tank mixtures are municipality water as well as well water. Municipalities are typically adding some sort of chlorine or acid to clean it before sending it out. This has a corrosive impact on the pipes, so to increase the longevity of those transportation water pipes, they add some form of calcium. This contributes to the water hardness, as well as when pulling from a well and water percolates through the ground, it's picking up these dissolved minerals and in effect bringing them up as we pull from well sources for tank mixtures. That last bullet point, rainwater is one of the few natural sources that has no water hardness. So here on this chart, we have the U.S. EPA hardness scale. Rainwater would be in that soft water range, which is 75 parts per million or less calcium carbonate equivalents. But one instance, for example, in West Lafayette, our municipal water as well as well water is in the 400 parts per million calcium carbonate equivalents, so well above that very hard level range. So hardness is the first topic. The second topic I want to cover is 2,4-D in this introduction, discovered in the 1940s, used to control broadleaf weeds in crops, pastures, roadsides, and lawns. It's a synthetic auxin, which is part of the phenoxycarboxylic acid family, which is group 4 of the WSSA group categorization. So as a weak acid, this first bullet point here is another thing to remember as I'm talking throughout this presentation. Any weak acid herbicide has what we call a dissociation constant, or a pKa value. For 2,4-D, that value is going to be 2.73. That means that any time the pH of your water is 2.73, 50% of the 2,4-D molecules will be associated, and 50% of those molecules will be dissociated. So I have a graph here where if we look at, on the y-axis, we see a percentage of 2,4-D dissociation. This red line indicates a 50% breakup between dissociated and associated molecules. And then if we draw a line down, we see that 2.73 pH range. On the x-axis, as the pH range increases to 4, 5, and even 6, we see that it reaches a peak of the 100% dissociation rate. So that second bullet point, which is spray tank water, typically has a pH of 7 to 8, means that all the water we're using for spray tank mixtures lends itself to dissociated molecules of 2,4-D if it is an amine formulation. Other examples of weak acid herbicides include glyphosate, dicamba, MCPA, MCPP, mesotrione, and quinchlorac. There are other examples. These are some of the most commonly used. So we've talked about hard water and cations in it, and we've talked about 2,4-D and its background. Now we're going to put those two together and talk about hard water antagonism. But for 2,4-D, before I do that, 2,4-D dimethyl amine, we have two parts here. That left molecule is the dissociated 2,4-D acid. And as you notice, it has a slight negative charge on the oxygen molecule there. That is why, in terms of a weak acid herbicide, that's one of the characteristics it has, is that slight negative charge. And then you see that molecule on the right has a slight positive charge. That is the amine salt. When purchased in the jug by homeowners, lawn care operators, or golf course superintendents, it is an associated molecule. So that positive charge will be attracted to that negative charge, and we have this nice complete molecule. However, this reaction is reversible, and we'll discuss how that's an important factor when looking at hard water antagonism. So as we add our associated molecule to the tank water mixture, we find out that it does dissociate because, again, most of our water is above that pH, that pKa level. So this is how it will exist in the tank mixture with that slight negative charge. And then we have the presence of these divalent cations, calcium being the most predominant. So what's going to happen is we'll have two of these 2,4-D molecules with the slight negative charges, and they will be connected by the two charge of the calcium. What we see here is a larger molecule, and what happens is we have a reduction in absorption into the leaf, and that means that there's less chemical getting to the site of action, and thus a reduction in control. So this is the basis of hard water antagonism. So my objective for this project was to determine if hard water and tank mixtures antagonize different 2,4-D formulations equally. We looked at different water-soluble amine salts as well as emulsifiable concentrate esters. The methods, we grew dandelions in the greenhouse with a complete randomized block design. We had four blocks in each and did this in two runs. That second big large bullet point, we applied 2,4-D at a 1.6 kilograms acid equivalence per hectare. And then we had our treatment list here, the six treatments we had. Those treatments 1 through 4 above the dotted line were water-soluble amine formulations. 1 and 2 were 2,4-D dimethyl amine, number 1 being with proprietary ingredients, whereas number 2 was without proprietary ingredients. And then we also looked at 2,4-D monomethyl amine, abbreviated MMA, and then 2,4-D isopropyl amine, IPA or MIPA. And then those treatments below the dotted line were the ester or water insoluble formulations. So we did 2,4-D ethyl hexyl ester, abbreviated 2-EHE, as well as 2,4-D butoxy ethyl ester, abbreviated BEE. And then all of these treatments were applied at a 0 or 600 parts per million calcium equivalents, and then each block contained a non-treated check. So how we rated this experiment, visual ratings were taken for epinasty 1 and 2 weeks after application on a 0 to 100% scale. And then control was rated 3 and 4 weeks after application on a 0 to 100% scale. Measurements we took at the 4 weeks after application included an image J analysis for green leaf tissue area. This is an example where we took a picture of the dandelion, put it through the ImageJ programming, and were able to get an estimate of the green leaf tissue area. After we took these images, we destructively sampled, and from that we got fresh shoot mass, dry shoot mass, and dry root mass in grams. And then from that we calculated a reduction compared to the non-treated check. So here's my ANOVA table. We did not see a run by treatment interaction, so we were able to combine run 1 and 2 together. To set up this table, all of our ratings from epinasty from 1 week after application to percent green leaf area, image J 4 weeks after application, for our main effects, they were all significant, and our interaction was always significant. But for brevity today, we're just going to be looking at control 4 weeks after application, as well as percent fresh shoot mass reduction 4 weeks after application. So in this graph, we have control 4 weeks after application. Our hardness levels are 0 and 600 there on the left. Those treatments to the left of the dotted line were our water-soluble amine formulations, and then those to the right are our water-insoluble ester formulations. If we look at the control at 0 parts per million, we see that we did get good control with the amine water-soluble formulations. For example, anywhere from 59.4% to 38.1%. But when we transitioned from 0 parts per million to 600 parts per million, we got a significant decrease in control. So if we look at the DMA with proprietary ingredients, so that's dimethyl amine with proprietary ingredients, we went from 41.9% control to 5.3% control when we went from soft water at 0 parts per million to 600 parts per million with only a 5.3% control. And then to the right of that dotted line are esters. This was what we would call a hotter herbicide, so it burned down more quickly. That was why we were getting the higher levels of control. But the other big point to take from this is that both at the 0 parts per million water hardness and at the 600 parts per million water hardness, there was no significant difference between control. So our ester formulations did not see a reduction in control when hard water was used in the tank mixture. And here, just another note, values with the same letter are not significantly different. And here we have the percent fresh shoot mass reduction. Sort of the same. We have the same story with our water-soluble amine formulations, with good control on our with no hardness in the tank mixture, and then as we transitioned to 600 parts per million in the water, we did see a reduction in control. For example, our MMA formulation, that third one here, we went from 46.3% fresh shoot mass reduction to only a 13.7% shoot mass reduction. And then the same story goes with our ester or water-insoluble formulations. So to get some more visuals, this is our 2,4-D dimethyl amine with proprietary ingredients. That image on the left was applied in tank water that was 0 parts per million hardness, whereas the one on the right was applied with 600 parts per million hardness. And then these were the visual images taken for the 2,4-D dimethyl amine without proprietary ingredients, and then applied in 0 parts per million. And then on the right, we have the 600 parts per million application. And just to show a comparison, those treatments that were tank mixed in 600 parts per million hardness showed very little difference from the non-treated control. And all of these images were taken 4 weeks after application. And just to really send the message home, these are the other water-soluble formulations of 2,4-D. We have the 2,4-D MMA, again, a reduction in control as we apply in with water with the 600 parts per million calcium carbonate equivalents. And the same story happened when we looked at our 2,4-D MIPA or IPA formulation as we applied the 600 parts per million, or had the 600 parts per million calcium carbonate in the tank water mix. Again, for comparison, here's the non-treated control. So those were the water-soluble formulations. Here's the visual with the water-insoluble formulations, so our ester formulations. 2,4-D EHE, we see good control at both 0 parts per million hardness as well as 600 parts per million hardness. And then good control at both 2,4-D with BEE 0 parts per hardness and 2,4-D BEE at 600 parts per million hardness. So we need to understand why this is happening, why some formulations do have hard water antagonism, why some don't. All the water-soluble formulations have this pKa value, and what that means is that they all have this opportunity to be dissociated in the tank water mix, which, as we said, lends itself to dissociation. So all of these molecules, the dimethyl amine salt, the isopropyl amine salt, as well as the monomethyl amine salt, will exist in tank water mixes with the slight negative charges indicated by the red circles. And this is where the calciums will bind two of these molecules together and create a molecule that is double in size and not absorbed as well into the leaf. Again, the water-soluble formulations were prone to hard water antagonism. And then our non-water-soluble formulations are esters. Because of the way they're formulated, they don't come into direct contact with the water. They do not have a dissociation constant, so they are not going to break. They're not going to dissociate or have a slight negative charge, and thus they're not going to be antagonized by the hard water. So in conclusion, water-soluble amine formulations of 2,4-D were antagonized by hard water. And our ester formulations, our water-insoluble formulations, were not antagonized by water, as indicated by those charts that I had up there, as well as the images. Our conclusions support past research on older formulations of 2,4-D, no longer commonly used. And then research that has been done by our lab and in past shows that when using an amine formulation of 2,4-D, use ammonium sulfate at a 2% weight-by-weight amount or a water conditioning agent to remedy hard water antagonism. So with that, I'd like to thank the Midwest Regional Turf Foundation and the Purdue Weed Science Team, as well as the Purdue Chemistry Department. My lab did explore this topic of water hardness, and I have that presentation as a poster where we look at nitrogen source varies, how they vary in their ability to overcome 2,4-D hard water antagonism. So I mentioned AMS, but we also looked at different sources of nitrogen in my poster. And with that, I will take any questions. So calcium carbonate equivalents, it's a general measure. In more detail, it's the divalent cation, so anything with the plus two charge is what will show up as the calcium carbonate equivalents. Yes. So the question was water testing in the lab and as an indication of hard water. Unless you send it to a lab, most of the water testing that you can either get at home for either a pool or, water in the home, those will give you ranges, which I apologize if I made it sound like those were bad, but they will give you ranges that will let you know, kind of where you stand. But if you want to be really concise, then the spray tank water quality test would be appropriate. Yes. So we used distilled water to begin with, and it was, if I remember correctly, it was around 6.5 when we had the zero parts per million, and then when we added the hardness, it never got near that pKa range. So we always had pHs that were allowing for this dissociation of the 2,4-D molecule. The ammonium sulfate amount that I put on, that is equivalent to 17 pounds per 100 gallons of water in agronomic research with glyphosate, which is a weak acid herbicide and is prone to hard water antagonism. This is an amount that it's the higher amount for the adjuvant rate of ammonium sulfate, and it takes care of hard water antagonism at the levels we would find in natural water sources. Tap water, if you're getting it from your well, think about 400 parts per million. If you're getting it from a city, think anywhere from 400 to 450 parts per million calcium carbonate equivalents. Okay.
So why didn't you choose 600?
600 was a rate that an experiment before this one where we did a range of hardnesses. We knew that that hard water antagonism occurred between the 400 and 450. We just wanted to have an absolute rate that we knew that this hard water antagonism will occur, and just to make sure that we had absolutes and weren't getting a difference in treatments. Yes?
What was the purpose of the proprietary agent?
So the question was, what was the purpose of the proprietary ingredient? We wanted to see that just as, you know, as a homeowner would buy it or a golf course superintendent, anyone who would buy it, to see if those proprietary ingredients would be able to either reduce or combat hard water antagonism. While they might have helped control in distilled water, they did not help with hard water antagonism, since both the proprietary and without proprietary ingredients were both antagonized.
All right, thank you.